I appreciate that. I really don't like you all to know this, but I do have the ability to preach for less time than I do. It's a shame when you find that out, but you will this morning. Would you please put the screen down? I've preached this sermon in as little as 30 minutes, and I have 8. So I'm going to do things in a little different order than what, I just rewrote it in my head while we were doing communion. It's all right. So here's what I need you to do. Would you please put up the first picture in here? Now, you and I, whenever we start thinking about our lives, we start thinking about things that we would really, really, really like to have. For some people, maybe not for you, but for some people, a car like this would be really, really, really nice. I know most women are shaking their heads no. That's okay, I'll get you in just a minute. But we say to ourselves, here's how much money I have. And to get that, it would take that much money. And I don't have that much money. So would you show the next picture? Now this, on the other hand, might be doable. It might be. That's a tricked out Chevy Silverado with a scooped hood and all the amenities. Now for some people, a truck like that, it's not way up here, but it might be like right here. It's a reach, but it's just a little bit of a reach. It's a doable reach. Yeah, we like to call it a stretch, don't we? It's just a stretch, but we could do it. Put up the next picture for me. This, if it came with the maids and the cook and all the yard workers, might be really nice, huh? It might be really nice to have something like that. If that's not your style, try this one. Yeah. Now you look at what you have and you say to yourself, something like that is way up here. Way up here. But maybe, go ahead and show the next one. Maybe just a little shack on the beach, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Just a little shack. It's got running water, a microwave, it's got a cooktop. We can't have that in the new building, but it's got a cooktop in it. And it might be a stretch. It might be a stretch, but it's a doable stretch, right? And so when we make decisions in life, when you and I live life, we're able to walk around and to say to ourselves, I can't have that. Because here's what I'm working with. I can have that. Because I can afford $1.59 hot dog at Sheetz with chili and cheese on it. Or I can have this, but it's going to be a stretch to do this. And so what we do is you and I make choices with regard to our lifestyle and this. Now, I've been talking the past couple of weeks about barriers to generosity. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about jealousy. And last week, I talked about greed. And I said greed was, in the Greek, it means to want more. The biblical word for greed is defined as simply wanting more. Now, what I want to talk about with you today is another barrier to generosity, and that is margin. And margin, just like in a book, is how much space you have. And in financial terms, margin is how much available cash you have. Now, you and I make decisions about how we're going to live, and we decide in our heads, we make a mental calculation, and we're actually pretty good at it. Over the course of an entire year, over the course of buying all kinds of clothing and food and cars and house payments and everything else, we're actually pretty good at guesstimating how close we can live on what we have. And when we're over, or even under, we'll keep track of it, we'll balance our checkbook, and we'll have a pretty good sense of where we are with this. Now, I want to go to the scripture, We looked at part of the scripture last week. I'm going to skip through the first couple slides because I don't have the time to talk about it. We talked about this stuff last week. I just want to emphasize to you as he flips through these that Jesus says to us over and over again, do not store up for yourself. Store up for yourself. Over and over again, it's you and yourself that's talked about in the scripture. So go ahead and flip it to the next slide. If you would, please. And flip it to the next slide. And Jesus comes to the end of all this where he's talked about all this stuff about us and you and your and all this stuff. And last week we talked about our heart. And I said to you that there's sin inside of us. And when we've accepted Christ, God inside of us. And the sin pushes everything to be me and mine. So that you, as in me, is what's most important. And then God is in competition with that. And Jesus comes to the end of the story about stuff, and he says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one, don't flip it over yet, and despise the other. Now, having listened to the whole teaching on money that Jesus does, you would think that he would say the two masters are either you or God. Because he said all along, do not store up for yourself. Store up for yourself. Be devoted to all this stuff. But when he comes to the very end of this, he says, after describing that you can only have two masters, you'll love one, be devoted to one, and despise the other, he finishes by saying this. Go ahead and flip it. You cannot serve both God and money. He doesn't say yourself. He doesn't say you can't serve God and yourself. He says you can't serve God and money. And here Jesus reveals to us this powerful spiritual truth, which we have a hard time acknowledging, but which is ultimately very true. And that's this. Jesus is saying money will compete for God's spot at the center of your heart. Money will compete for God's spot at the center of your heart. And he says, I want you to know that up front. Money is going to be in direct competition for your heart with God. See, I don't know about you, but my money talks to me. Does your money talk to you? My money says stuff like, spend me on that. My money says, if there's a sale on hunting items, it means I can get more hunting items. Because I saved. And if I saved, it means I can spend what I saved on something else, right? And my money talks to me. And sometimes my money says, spend me. And so, we'll listen, and some of us will spend all that we have, and then we'll even stretch a little bit. So that we're spending what we haven't got yet. And then, there are people who hear money talk to them, and they say, I hear you, but I'm not going to listen, so I'm going to put you in jail. So they take all their money and they lock it where? Down the hill where? In the bank. They put it in a big vault. And they say, I hear you talking to me, but I'm not going to listen to you. So every once in a while I'm going to get a little bit of money out and I'm going to spend it on my stuff in life, but all the rest of it's going to be where? Locked up down there. And so you find that there are either people in life with little to no margin, margin meaning extra, or people with lots of margin. And Jesus speaks to both of them. And he said last week to the person who had lots of margin, he had so much margin that he built new barns to keep all his stuff. And he was getting ready, having stored up this giant pile of stuff, to just live life a day at a time and spend it on himself. And have no margin for God. He said, if you're the kind of person who has this much margin and you spend it all on yourself, or you lock it up in your barns where no one else can get to it, the day is going to come when I'm going to ask you for your life and all of your stuff's going to be taken away, and then what good was it? And he says to that person, your money has been master over you because you spent all your time babysitting your money. And when you babysit your money, you're no longer mastering it, it's mastering you. And then he says to the person who spends up to here, and maybe even stretches, He says, money has become your master because you have no margin. And you're actually working to keep up with the stuff that you've already bought or that you're going to buy tomorrow. And so now you're working for your money instead of your money working for you. And this is where most of America lives, on one of these two sides of money. And God says, here's what I really want for you. I want you to have in your life margin right here. And margin that's available to God. I want you to have margin that's available to me. Because, he says, where you put your treasure, your heart will follow. And he says, the trouble is that most of you set aside margin, and then what do you want to spend it on? Either you or no one. No one's going to touch that pile. No one. No one, no one, no one. Or, here's the new vacation fund. And God says, no, 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 no. You have to understand, to get away from greed, you have to give. And the way that you give is to create margin. Now, here's what people say to me. I can't create margin. Do you understand my financial situation? And here's what I say to people. If one of you all lost your job as a couple, what would you do? Oh, we'd have to adjust our lifestyle. What do you mean? We'd have to cancel television. We'd have to blah, blah, blah. They go through the whole list. And I say, so what you're saying is if you lost a job, you'd start living here because you only had this much money. And they say, yes. And I say, why can't you live there now and create margin? Well, because we don't want to. Because we don't want to. Because we want this for who? Me and mine. And the truth is that God is saying, don't you understand? I want you free. Free. Because you can actually become devoted and love money. And the problem is that if you're devoted to one, what happens to the other? Oh my gosh, Jesus, no. So I'm already over, so let me tell you a closing story. I was down at an annual conference, and I never carry money. I never carry money with me. I never carry money. The reason I don't carry money is because I like to track my spending. And when I carry money, I can't track my spending. Kalia and I have an agreement. We only spend about $25 or so without talking to each other. Over about $25 threshold, we talk to each other. So Kelly said to me, I want you to spend it on this card because every week, and sometimes sooner, every week, Kelly pays off that card. Every week. Not every month, every week. And she's able to better track her spending. So I go to annual conference, and I never carry money. I didn't go to the money machine. I never carry money. I never have money. Why? Because if I have money in my wallet, what do? I spend it. Because it calls to me. So I never carry money in my wallet. Because it's easier to spend a dollar than to pull your card out and buy something with a dollar. Have you ever found that to be true? I'm living on borrowed time. Keep up with me. Come on, come on, come on. So I walk past a guy who's panhandling, and I say to him in all earnestness, I have no money in my wallet. And I walk past him 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and I have no money in my wallet because I have no money in my wallet because I never carry money in my wallet. And then the last day of conference, I get up and I go to pull my room key out of my wallet, and sitting in my wallet is this, and I don't know how it got there. And do you know what God said to me? He said, you didn't even open your wallet to see if you had money. He said, you have such a long way to go. Now, I tithe. We tithe on our salaries. We give to other stuff. We're giving to the building. We do lots of stuff. And God said to me, you're not doing this. Now, here in a perfect world, here's what I do. I would carry $20 in my wallet all the time. And I would say to God, this $20 is available to you and no one else. And if somebody asks me for money, here it is, God. It's available to you immediately right here. But you know what? If I carry $20 in my wallet, you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to walk in the sheets and I'm going to be hungry one day and I'm not going to have any money. And you know what I'm going to do? Here's $20. Does anybody live where I live? Hello. And what does Jesus tell us? He says, it's here. This is where you have to start. It's here. And it's not about my wallet ultimately. God paved heaven with gold. He doesn't care about my money. He cares. You know what's most precious to God in all the world is my heart. And you know what? If my kids grow up and they inherit millions of dollars from some friend of theirs, because they're not getting it from us or their family, if they inherit millions of dollars and they suddenly become enamored with money and they walk away from me, I'm going to be heartbroken because my kids can have everything they want in the world, but they've turned away from me. And God said, I just want you to understand. Here's my concern. You're going to get everything you want in this world, and you're going to walk away from me. Because you need me less and less and less. The more you have this, you rely upon me less and less. I'm going way over. We got to get to our closing hymn. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? I know I'm being manic here, but listen, I'm your pastor, and I deeply care about you. And this is so important for us to understand. God wants your heart. You guard your wallet like it's radiation, and understand that every time we pick it up, it can affect your heart. Jesus said, guard your heart against all kinds of wanting more. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We're going to sing about it in just a minute. Help us to follow you with everything we have and teach us not to let money get in the way of your spirit within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.